Sure, good.
Everything seems to be working fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's on.
We'll go with it. All right. This is the regular meeting and public hearing of the North Bend Planning Commission for Thursday, December 13th, 2018. This is Commissioner Heller speaking. We have
Commissioner Taub.
Commissioner McFarland.
Commissioner Bovers.
Commissioner Ryan.
We have city staff as well.
Yeah, Mike McCarty.
And Jamie Burrell.
Okay. All right, we have a quorum. The next item on the agenda is to approve tonight's agenda.
I move we approve the agenda as presented.
Second. Any comments or changes? Okay, all those in favor of approving tonight's agenda say aye.
Aye.
None opposed? Motion carries. We'll approve tonight's agenda. And next is approval of last meeting's minutes, November 8th, 2018.
So moved.
Second.
So any comments or changes on these minutes?
So none. Speaking in favor of the motion, I found 2 minutes to be quite complete.
I'll pass that along to Tom. Tom always prepares our minutes for it. Thank you, Tom.
All right, seeing no changes, all those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
And none opposed, so the minutes are approved. All right, now it is time for public comment on non-agenda items. Does anyone wish to speak on anything you don't see on the agenda? Any other topic?
Just a question. Will you be taking comment on density?
I think that's up to the chair. Certainly, it's just an informational thing at this point, trying to get some early direction from the Planning Commission.
It's not a public hearing, but you know, we can have a casual conversation, I guess, or maybe, you know,
that'd be cool. That's
take
awesome.
Things for us to consider, kind of thing.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we will move on to public hearing. It is 7:04. We'll open up the hearing. This is the public hearing for the development agreement for the River Run Apartments to grant relief from North Bend Municipal Code 18.10.040, parentheses 11, multifamily maximum building size. So this is about modification, I believe that's
right. Do you want me to give a summary and then we can accept any comments and then close the hearing and discuss? Okay. And I did think that the developer representative was going to be here, so maybe she'll pop in. If not, I'll do my best to summarize it and answer questions. I'm Jamie Burrell, senior planner here, and we have been working with North Bend Associates LLC, and also known as River Run Apartment Project, for, I didn't look up the date, but it's been 3 years, I want to say, about approximately 3 years. And they have a property at the corner of 436th Avenue Southeast and Southeast 136th Street. And they are fairly along in their review process. They have an approved site plan. They have approved building design. They've met our building design standards. They have actually approved building permits, plans that are ready to pick up. And they are almost through their engineering. They had to go back and their development warranted a roundabout at that intersection instead of a signal. The city wanted a roundabout. So they went back and redesigned that. And then they came to us and said, you know, and they had brought this up before about the code provision of limiting 10 units per building for multifamily units. And the intent there is to just keep buildings smaller. It's a scale thing. In downtown, you can do a little more density, but or if it's above a second story or above unit. But generally, that was kind of the intent, and they had units where just the math and the configuration of their units, they really wanted the 12 units. And here's the representative. So they also have HUD funding, and they were running into difficulties with financing of the project by reducing the number of buildings. That saves them money, but they also it reduces the massing of the buildings on the site, and they can accommodate the parking. And a few of the other elements that were negotiated, which the development agreement is a document between the city and the developer, and it's there has to be benefits for both people to be able to approve it. And because of this development agreement, they would have to go back and they would have to re-engineer the site. They'd have to get a new site plan approval, and there'd be some other things they'd have to do. But they feel that it's worth it to try to get this development agreement, mostly because of that, the building number. They would reduce the buildings by 3 buildings. The total units right now is 129, and we would lose one. It would go to 128 units. And there are some maps in the packet that show the site plan. A couple of the other things real quick are the impact fees. So when you pick up a building permit, we're going to charge a number of impact fees that are a one-time payment to the city. And the developer requested that we freeze those for transportation, park, and fire. And the city agreed, the city council committee agreed that they would entertain that if they picked up their permit within 2019. Like I said, their permit's ready to pick up now, but they're wanting to make that change. The other items were the council committee has been reviewing this at their last 3 meetings, September, October, and November, and kind of giving some input. Now it's the Planning Commission's turn to have a hearing and to think about it and to give them a recommendation of what you think about this development agreement. The other piece that council committee supported was the proposal that the period of affordability would go from 12 years to 24 years. There are a total of 28 affordable units in this development. Currently there's 25, so they've increased that by 3. And lastly, with the changes to the grading and the loss of the buildings, there's 22 additional trees that can be retained. There might be a few more, actually. We're really trying to focus retention if we can keep any along Southeast 136th. But there's some other trees that could be retained, and that was really important to Council Committee, as well as, I know, Planning Commission's. That's been a priority as well. So I will leave it at that, and then we can have the hearing and then answer any questions. And like I said, Holly Brown is here from North Bend Associates. So. What's that?
You've got the
list.
Yeah, so it looks like Michael Thomas signed up. Does anyone else want to speak?
I'll speak on this subject.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, we can have you sign in.
Yeah, sorry.
And then we'll give you each 5 minutes to talk about the topic. And then if there's any questions, we'll just roll them in together, and then the staff can answer those questions.
Okay.
And we'll move on to the Planning Commission deliberation. All right, Michael, you're first up on the list.
Sure. Michael Thomas, 1231 La Forest Drive, SC. Both have comments on the proposed development agreement. And I also understand this is the SEPA public hearing as well. So first, let me start with the development agreements. I have a question. It wasn't clear to me that the decrease in number of units and then the increase in parking size increased impervious surface area. So I might have a concern about stormwater flooding for nearby properties and runoff it just wasn't clear whether it was a net reduction in the surface area or was it the same amount. The second thing is it's both the CEPA comment and the development agreement comment was the statement actually about water. In a development, proposed development agreement, there's a comment about the city proposed to supply water to River Run in the event that Salal was either unable or whatever. I do have an open question and concern. The city has yet to deliver the Golder report, which is, you know, its study of water demands in the city, both affecting the city water supply as well as Salal as well. So my concern is the additional take of this development and its water impact to the Snoqualmie River, which is subject to in-stream flow requirements, whether that's Salal water or whether that's ultimately city water. So it's more of an open CEPA question is my concern. It would be a great relief to me to see the results of that study, to know where we stand on water. It's really hard for citizens to know what development is within or not within the sphere of influence of this. The other comment I would have is actually, in the event that a water line is run to that property, and given I live along Cedar Falls Way, I would have concerns about loss of trees for a water line. I might suggest that it needs to be put either in the side of the road or alternate routing along North Bend Way, where there's a larger, I understand there's a railroad right way that's really not used, that's a large open space, that perhaps, if you look at the routing of any pipeline that goes down Cedar Falls Way, that perhaps a better routing is down North Bend Way and down 436, maybe in an effort to preserve trees. Because Cedar Falls Way is quite narrow, so my concern would be, is there any loss of trees along Cedar Falls Way, really, for this, what if Salal can't supply the water? So that's the end of my comments, and thank you for taking my comment.
Clayton?
Yeah. Okay. So my name's Clayton, and then our property actually, the west side or the south side of our property backs right up to the River Run project, and our east side, our west side is right along the Chinook Lumber project. So our concern is with the Chinook Lumber project, the trees there was a root rot problem in there, so they had a tree retention minimum. And they ended up having to cut down a lot more trees once the project was started than they originally thought because they were dead or dying or dangerous. And we were kind of wondering if there was something that they could do with this project, maybe an arborist go in beforehand and help them pick these trees, especially since they want to leave extra trees now. With this new change up, the map said an extra 31 trees, and you said an extra 22, so mm-hmm. You're just kind of hoping that maybe they could get an arborist in there beforehand and say, hey, this isn't a good candidate for a tree to leave because it's already dead or dying or dangerous. So we just don't really want them to see them leave their 18% that they had to originally, their new amount, and then they end up having to cut most of them down anyway because of root rot or they're already dead or whatever, you know. So that's kind of our concern on it is if somebody could go in beforehand and help them pick trees to leave so that they're not leaving dead trees. And then we end up with less trees than we originally were going to begin with. So,
thank you. Can you, I see your address here, but can you just state it for the record?
43805 Southeast Tanner Road, okay. North Bend, Washington.
Okay, thanks. Good comments. Anyone else?
I just had a question. Let's say 61, 14 Second Avenue Southeast. But just had a question, because if they're putting the same number of apartments in three fewer buildings, like what does that do to the square footage of each apartment? And then how does that change like, really what the apartment mix is or what the offerings are? For the town?
Okay. We can clarify that. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, did you want to hear from the applicant?
Yeah, we could give the applicant a chance to comment while the public hearing is open if you want, or if you want to.
Would it help if I answered some of the
questions, or does staff want to answer
sure.
questions?
Can you just start with your name and address for the record?
That's right. Yeah. My name is Holly Brown, and I work for North Bend Associates on the property that I'm representing is 4360 136th Avenue Southeast, North Bend, Washington. We are, I guess, haven't prepared to speak, but we're very much looking forward to being able to add this project. I think it would be very helpful for the community to have an affordable housing project in the community. We've gone to two of the affordable housing forums that were held in North Bend and see the great need that there is within North Bend's communities combined. And so it's a really good opportunity, and I think the right opportunity to develop this land that's been owned in that place for about 3 years. So that's kind of our motive. That's our objective. And on some of the questions, the difference in the impervious surface, it will be, we have a revised site plan that shows the differences, but I don't think it's going to be a huge difference because we're replacing what was apartment footprints with parking.
Yeah, I was just curious.
We're required to do a new stormwater plan and everything anyway, so we need to see that in revised civil, which we don't want to go into the whole plan until we get approval, because we've done a preliminary plan to say this is where our goal is until then. And then the water, would it be a drain on the city? The question on that one is that it could be a benefit to the city of North Bend, and I don't know anything about the politics between North Bend and Slough, for us to build an extension of the water line to the property so that it could expand what North Bend could offer, and I'm understanding that there's an additional supply that North Bend City has, that this could start delivering it to that end of the city. And we would be responsible for actually building the pipe. So it's a decent length that we would be building in to connect to the well at Cedar River, and it's near the roundabout at Cedar River.
Holly, do you mind speaking just a little louder to overcome the noise of the heater, just for the sake of the recording?
Okay. And then, can you hear me now? Okay. Should I repeat what I was saying?
It's probably
fine. Okay. And then, so that's, if Slough can offer it and they can provide the adequate health safety within the water, then we could do that. But if they can't, then we have the option, and North Bend's approached us to be able to get the water from North Bend. Tree retention on Chinook. We have had an arborist look at our property. We have a table of trees. It's about 500 trees that they've examined, every one, the health of each one, the diameter of each one, and they've looked at the condition of each one, whether it's worth saving or not. And so the ones that are not worth saving are already taken off as candidates for saving. So we've had extensive studying. Every time we've redone the site plan, we've had another round of arborist studies that goes with that, and it's been submitted to the city. And then the final question was, how does it change the apartment mix? The apartment mix is going to be pretty similar. What it's going to do is it's going to take 3 buildings worth of, or 24 units. No, I'm sorry. 10 plus 4. 19 units that were 3 bedrooms. And it's going to make those 2 bedrooms. And the apartments that we have, there's 9 buildings that we have 2-bedroom apartments in, 10 units each. We'll take the 2 units, we'll convert 2 garages in each building to create 4 units in each building. And then we'll take away 3 of the buildings that we're going to be townhomes. So there'll be more 2-bedroom units, fewer 3-bedroom townhome units. And, yeah, but we're going to end up with one less just because the
Also, Chair, we did receive a comment letter from Gary Fancher. He was on the Planning Commission from 2010 to 2017, so I'll go ahead and pass that around.
They've got that
already. Oh, you've got it? Okay, these are extra copies if anybody else would like to see. And the only other comment I would have before we close the hearing related to what was said was the water lines will go down the middle of the street. That's where they should go. So
sorry,
they
point of order, is the hearing still open?
Right.
Yeah, I think it is. We'll close it up in just a minute.
That was it.
Passed out the final Gary's comments, and I think we've heard from everyone. So it is now 7:22. So we'll go ahead and close the public hearing. And to Planning Commission deliberation.
The question to staff, maybe to the developer. We're talking about the affordability units over a 20-year time frame, 24-year time frame. That's bound to ebb and flow with the economy. Is the developer prepared to increase or even add more affordability or less lever for affordability as the economy improves, or how does that work?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the number of units is established in the development agreement that are required to be affordable. So that would be, per the terms of the development agreement, it wouldn't change over time.
Right.
But, as I understand it, it's based upon the definition of affordability at the time. So does that
right.
fluctuate over time?
The number does, because it's laid out on page 2 of the development agreement. It's 80% King County median income. And the tax abatement for 24 years. So that is the minimum. They could always increase the units if they chose to, but they wouldn't be required to.
Jamie, essentially, I think what I hear you saying, while the number of units is fixed, what the rent on any of those affordable units will fluctuate according
Correct.
To each year's determination.
Correct.
Right.
And the development agreement requires that reporting to the city.
The number of affordable units won't change.
Correct.
That's
the rate, the rent rate. Okay.
Correct.
What is the 80% of the county median? We went over that last meeting. I guess.
Oh.
I didn't bring that with
Holly,
me.
Holly, I know the number by heart.
Presentation from last meeting said that the moderate income 80% was 57,890.
Say that louder, James.
57,890
would be the 80% level for us.
For
yeah.
household of how many?
Of what? Yeah. Because it fluctuates by household.
So it's based on median income per county is 103,400 per year, adjusted for family size 1 to 5 people, and it doesn't say which one that accounts to.
Yeah. Pretty familiar with that slide, and I recall Dave sharing in several meetings that he actually was not positive, which because of the variation in the household, he wasn't sure which one he had used.
I thought it was unclear, but I thought he might have mentioned that 57 was just one person. So that's why.
Which sounds more logical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another question about the portability issue. Would the affordability units be congregated together, or would they be dispersed throughout the unit, throughout the development?
They would not be assigned. So they would change depending on when somebody moves out and when becomes available. So it's not going to be an assigned unit that will have any different finishes or anything. They'll be exactly like all of the other units. And as people move out, then they would just be available or assigned as a victim.
Okay. Thank you for that. Thank you. Okay. Personal comment on this location. I think you couldn't be in a better spot for what we need. I think we need to have affordable apartments. They need to be accessible to rapid transit. I welcome them right where you go. It's the perfect spot.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of, there hasn't been a lot of negative comments overall we've heard, and I don't hear anything necessarily negative tonight. Just questions, clarifications. So I don't know if we want to go through and just ask questions of some. Well, one, I'll start off with one that goes back from when we looked at this as a planning commission, before we had comments, before I think a site plan was even drawn up, and it was on, it was tree retention, mostly actually along what's 436, and some on 136, but it was that corner, and what we had talked about is kind of a gateway. So you're seeing trees and Mount Si and not. So I'm just not sure from this drawing if those existing trees would be saved or if those are going to be cut down and planted trees would be put in there.
Correct. Yes, we have had, the Planning Commission reviewed when there was changes in the overlay made to the code. So that's when we had a hearing and you all heard this. And you can see in the black and white picture above kind of that area that was created. You can see in the colored picture below, there's the roundabout now added in. The other changes to the site plan were really grading related. Even if they didn't bring fill in that corner, it sits really low. You can go out and see it right now. It sits really low. What we found out when we got further into the engineering was that would be a hole there and would fill with water and the trees would die anyways. So unfortunately, those trees in that corner are not going to be saved. They're going to be replaced. We, as part of the SEPA that was issued, we conditioned firmly, there's going to be substantial planting in that roundabout, really tall, big trees, as well as on that corner to try to make up for that loss. But there was really no, like I said, even if they didn't fill there, it's the whole topography of the site. And once we added the roundabout in and encroached on that a little bit more, we lost some of the space for that area, so that is a change.
Jamie, you mentioned the original overlay. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what year that was?
What are we in now? 16.
Before that, I was on the commission and I was off 3 years and it's been a year since I'm back.
Yeah, right. Well, so yeah, that overlay included the parcels over here, the Crown Lakes parcels. Mm-hmm. Then this one was added.
Oh, there was a second.
Correct. This was added to that original overlay.
I'm remembering the original. Okay.
Right. And then since then, the Crown Lakes properties over here, have the council approved to remove the chance for more multifamily there for now to preserve employment.
You're right. Yep.
So there's still a lot of tree retention in the kind of the middle there. And then, like I said, they've added in the red circles, you can see the added trees along the perimeter. It's been really hard as well to get a lot of tree retention along 136. But that's still a focus. We would still like to, and there's a few identified here.
Do I understand that the tree retentions are these circular objects on the site plan?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it looks like you have 35 trees, more or less.
So that's the new trees that are being saved. That's not counting, yeah, all the ones in the middle here. I don't remember how many are in here. I would say over 50.
That's a good number. 80-something, I think, was the original preservation.
But it's, again, it's another issue where the city is incapable of saving the trees on any site. I don't understand why we can't enforce it.
I wouldn't say that. We've taken a very, very strong approach on saving trees on this site, and this is subject to our older tree regulations, but even so, that when we were looking at that roundabout, we were trying to figure out everything that we could do to preserve the trees within that area.
Yeah, and
they... That's the wrong place for tall trees. You know, you need to have better vision in a roundabout. You don't want to have a bunch of trees in your way.
At the corner, at least, out of the roundabout.
Yeah, they have not, so they're meeting the code still on what they're required to retain, and they haven't asked for a reduction on that, so.
I might add one of the issues along 436 and 136 for tree retention, because we want to save those trees, and we've meandered the sidewalk in order to maximize as many as possible, but the reason that we can't is utilities and the street improvements that we're required to make by the city. But the street improvements, the sidewalks, and all of that stuff is, if we could do something different, then we might be able to save some trees. But that's a big barrier for us being able to save the trees.
Sorry.
Yeah.
My profession is forestry. 40 years of warehouse. I know trees. I know that trees get in the way, but you can also work around them. And this is clearly a forested area, and I'm disappointed that it's not been better planned to retain more trees. It is what it is. But again, I'm not lobbying anybody. I'm just saying my disappointment in the developer not finding a way to work around the trees rather than work through the trees. Disappointed in that by very taking that as my personal opinion. I also understand the importance of this project and what it's going to mean to the livability of this community. But damn it, when are we going to be able to start enforcing our codes about tree retention, construction around the trees, not working through them? We've got to start somewhere. And this is a gateway project, and we're tearing it up.
The city took away the gateway by enforcing the roundabout. We had no choice on the roundabout. So we didn't make that choice. The city told us we had to put a roundabout in, and the only way to put the roundabout in was to sacrifice.
Well, I'm talking to the city. I'm mentioning you. I'm talking to the city, to the planning commissioner. I'm talking to my good associates here across the table. But they're the only people I can talk to. We have codes, we have policies, and we're not enforcing.
No, we absolutely are. We are following the tree code to the letter of the law, and then plus some. I think Holly can acknowledge we've pushed very hard on the tree issue, as hard as we can push.
At the end of the day, we're not going to have a lot of trees there. At the end of the day, it's going to be another project that we wonder where all the trees went.
I think it's location of the site within the site for the tree retention too. I mean, that's mm-hmm. the key spot over there that we talked about. I think if people see apartments, you know, I think most people support this project, but they don't necessarily want to see the apartments. You know, that's why there was a setback just passed. So having those trees that are way over there in the far right corner of photo of the site plan is no one's going to see those, but I understand that it meets the requirement of retaining trees, or maybe saying you exceeded it. So unfortunately, I understand where you're coming from. I have driven that road a lot, and I know that it does drop down in grade. I haven't walked out there, but you can tell right from the road that it drops down. I don't know if there's a creative way to use like a rain garden or something like that, because I'm assuming it the depression wouldn't be a problem. It's probably not a problem right now. It's just when you add all that impervious surface, which is a parking lot all over the place, then the water has to pour in there. And that's what you're saying.
No, the impervious surface. Yeah, the impervious surfaces aren't directed toward those areas. Those are addressed other areas to specific stormwater features.
So why would it be any different than what's out there now? Why would you say the trees would die when they're alive?
Those existing trees, if they sit in water, they will die.
Would they sit in water more with this development? I guess it makes
the roundabout, which is a necessary safety feature for the added traffic for the intersection.
So runoff from the roundabout, or just the
not the
no, just the, the just the grading that's required.
Okay, it need the space is required. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I it doesn't look like that on the photo exactly, mm-hmm. I'm not really sure where the trees. I thought the trees kind of covered a large area throughout there.
But that's where the substantial replanting comes in as well.
Right.
So planting with a lot of conifers in that corner that will grow up to provide that screening and gateway function over time.
I believe we have about 800 trees that we have to leave them.
Correct.
I would invite you to come to our development meetings because we have literally, honestly, and genuinely tried very hard to save trees. Right. We've met with our arborists, we've met with our civil, and we have had specific meetings to develop just around saving trees. We really have tried, and I know that you maybe don't buy it, but we really have. And the other element that is, we met with PSC, and there's another element, we would have to pay about another $800,000 to move the utility lines and maybe save a few trees if we redo all the vaults. But if we add another $800,000, we can't afford to build the project.
I'd rather the city be more honest with themselves and say we can't save every tree and get off the idea that we're going to be a forested community. But as long as we have the policy, we're going to be naturally inclined, then we've got to do something to align with that policy. Because we're going to be disappointed every time we build a house. We're going to be disappointed with the trees we lose. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm saying. We have, these goals of our city is to retain the trees, have a recreational and so on. And what we have here is a classic and wonderful development of a residential community, but not under the goals that we have as a livable town. So we either have to change our vision or get on with something.
The Planning Commission did provide recent recommendations that the council adopted on updated clearing grading regulations, which increased a lot of our tree retention requirements. This project was vested before those regulations took place, but they still are exceeding their minimum tree retention requirements. So they're meeting the code that was set by the city based on the Planning Commission's earlier recommendation on those regulations. And that's just how the development process works. So we can't require much more than what our development regulations say is required.
Yeah, and I don't have the SEPA language with me, but through the SEPA that we issued for this project, there are, and I could send it to you via email, but there's some really clear conditions with how this will look to make up for that loss. That was really important, and the roundabout. So they are on the hook for a substantial planting. It is going to be a stark change. There's going to be a loss of trees on this. That's what happens when development occurs, but we really tried to make up for this unfortunate loss at the gateway, that we had all hoped for. So I think over time it'll soften the blow there. But we can't have it all, and we have all these competing regulations, traffic and trees and utilities, and we want sidewalks so that the people can walk down the street, and there's all these things that are tugging at each other. So
I've had the pleasure of being on this commission for almost 7 years. And what I've been listening to with every development is property was vested before we changed our regulations. And I'm still hearing that. Property was vested before we had these new regulations. When the hell are we going to projects are being vested with our current regulations.
Right.
The ones that are not.
I mean, my God, we're always just sort of chasing.
We have some new plats in under the new tree code, so that's.
We're always chasing that. Whatever.
Tree farm.
You know, our work is to review and make recommendations for changes to code. Any project that has vested prior to council approving those codes is vested to whatever was in place before a recommendation.
I get that.
And that will continue for all time. Right? So it's part of the work.
A question, comment on, since we're talking about trees. Mm-hmm. Trees was emphasized in the staff report. It's dominated the conversation so far tonight. But there's nothing in the development agreement that speaks to trees that I could see. And so we heard that the developer is actually going to exceed the requirements for tree retention. But I know just in the relatively short time I've been on a commission, in fact, we even heard an example today where best intentions, when the developer actually shows up and starts doing the building, there have been projects where the trees we thought were going to be retained came out for different reasons.
Right.
So it feels like there should be some stipulation in the development agreement itself that commits the exceeding of those requirements.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. And this this figure here is a part of the development agreement, so they're getting tied to that, and then they are meeting the code. But we could.
I think the picture, though, is subject to interpretation. And I know
right.
some projects I've been involved in. I've heard a number of times from architects and engineers and developers, well, this is just a graphic representation. This isn't.
Okay.
Specific design drawings, so I'm not comfortable with the picture reflecting what seems to be the commitment that's been made.
I think on page 2 of the development agreement, we could add something under 3 and make a D.
Yeah, I think
describe that
expectation. We talked about the water, for example, and which is another question that I have. Really, two questions regarding the water. One is to the comment we heard earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We're making a commitment, city's making a commitment in the development agreement to provide water to this development in the event that Salal can't or won't.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard just a couple of times reference to a water study, but I'm not familiar with it. Are we convinced that the city can meet that commitment, not only to this development, but that there is sufficient capacity to address the things that are on the horizon?
We just flat out can't approve this without water.
Well, I know that, but we're approving really a
providing the water. The city
providing the water in the future in the event this thing doesn't happen.
Yes.
But we're going to have other projects that are going to come in, probably have that same kind of stipulation. Is there a point where we can no longer commit? I mean, have we done that capacity analysis and kind of played it against the comprehensive planning and build out that we're anticipating?
I haven't seen that study. I don't know if you have, Mike. I do know that the city, Public Works, has said, yes, this project can be served. There's a few other projects. We have a lot of capacity, water capacity.
Okay.
And so it's not a concern that I'm aware of.
We were actually approached by Public Works asking to do this. It wasn't
I understand that part of it. I guess my question is more the future implications of this near-term commitment.
I think the key to us, and I had the same comment down, Gary, which was that SEPA requires, as Mike just stated, it requires that we be able to say that there's water available. And my understanding is that it's the concerns that were expressed by Salal as to whether they would be able to fulfill the requirement that created this operation, but that essentially, if I'm understanding correctly, that's what's ended up to needed to be of it, the agreement in order to be able to certify the project as water available, right? So that,
correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
kind of, pardon, to Dick's point, and not necessarily the point he was making, but I think it's a related point, is we're continuously dealing with previous decisions. So there will be a point where we're talking about some future project and mm-hmm. water capacity,
yeah.
and that's really what I'm trying to get to, is to the extent we understand what our capacity is both now and future looking, so that we understand what kind of a dent this particular project makes in that capacity going forward.
That's a part of any project review. It's called concurrency.
Right.
And we have to demonstrate that there's adequate services, so adequate sewer, stormwater, water, fire, roads, and there's an evaluation by Public Works for those facilities to make sure that it's meeting our levels of service and that there is capacity.
Okay. So the agreement talks about the developer's obligation, you know, how it's going to connect to that water source. Mm-hmm. Are there costs to the city to provide that water capacity?
The developer would be responsible mm-hmm. for the extension of the water line to serve their development.
So no costs on the city wouldn't?
No, the city's not.
There's no infrastructure costs on the city's part to be able to provide that water supply.
No.
And as long as we're on that, I'll jump to one of my questions, which was also in the public comment around the routing of that. I would presume that any main extension down Cedar Falls Way would be within the right-of-way?
Correct. In the paved road.
Okay, thank you.
We walked that with Mike Sippel, mm-hmm. and his suggestion was that it go on the north side of the road, not down the middle.
Okay. Within the paved area?
No, just outside the paved area. And we looked at the
shoulder.
The shoulder, yeah, it was along the shoulder. Mm. We looked at the electrical vaults along the way. We walked the whole route, and that, in his opinion, that was the best place to put it.
Okay. And impact to trees at all?
I don't think so.
They're pretty far back.
It was close enough to the street that there weren't. I don't remember any trees in the area that, I mean, there might be one or two, but I wasn't.
Okay.
Is this River Run project within Soils Water District? Is
yes.
that why they're first up? But they haven't committed to it?
They have committed to half of the units?
Well,
They've committed to it.
Yeah, you have unconditional certificates. I talked to the general manager.
We have the certificate.
Yeah.
It's not.
So I was very, I found this water agreement quite odd because I did speak to Danny Scott, and y'all have unconditional certificates. So I'm struck by this DA inside water agreement here. So I find it unusual.
Yeah, seems like an odd comment if Slough's already committed to not putting them away.
And that might happen.
Yeah.
That might happen. Slough might provide the water.
Okay.
This is in the event that they don't, the city would commit to step in and do that. But like I said, the brunt of the reason for the development agreement is for that to get 12 units per building for those buildings that they're looking at. That's why they need the development agreement, and then we added in a few other things.
So does the water provision need to be in the development agreement?
I think that the city feels like that because there's some unknowns, of late with Soulville, that it's, because we're approving everything else. And then if we do all of this, but Soulville doesn't do their part, there's no project. So I think we're trying to protect everyone here.
Rob, do you have a question?
I do have some specific questions, and a few more that got raised as we've chatted already, but similar to what Commissioner Ryan said, make a broad comment that, to me, this is exactly the kind of agreement. I'm not passing a judgment on what I think of the project overall, My comment is more to the development agreement itself and showing the kind of flexibility in creating a better project than code otherwise would have if it was being followed strictly. And so I think, you know, the mutual benefit being shown by this flexibility with the requirements is going to result in a better project overall for us. And so I wanted to just put it out there that I applaud staff in working with the applicant to come up with that. I know that they had some obvious very high financial hurdles of why they were driving for it, but it seems to me that it was a huge win without any true aesthetic loss, and in some respects maybe a gain, although I'm not a fan of broad parking lots. I'll take the, you know, the units in the buildings and fewer buildings every time. That made a lot of sense to me. So that's my first broad stroke. We've talked a lot, I guess, about the trees. On page 2, where it does to talk about that, I was coming at from a slightly different, and I'm not looking for an answer tonight because I know the work that the engineers do and staff does, but in regard to the significant trees, it's already been expressed that it is the old code, so to speak, that this is vested to. Just curious if, because there's good-sized pockets being saved, if we're taking advantage of being able to preserve understory and non-significant trees in those areas as well, if that needs to be written in or is being done in the landscape plan. Do we know?
Correct. Yes. We have given credit, 2-to-1 credit, for existing, okay, non-significant that are on site.
The second question, comment, again, I know that utility conflicts, roadways, curbs, all of these things, is there any possible advantage that we could gain by moving the sidewalk onto the curb along 132nd and preserve even more trees? I know that some of it already is, but as I looked at the schematic there, it appeared to me that maybe you could even get better buffering, perhaps, and save even more trees with sidewalk on curb. But
correct.
I know that's a big engineering effort.
The black and white Exhibit B site plan, you see a lot more meandering there. Mm-hmm. And then Exhibit C brings that along the curb, which generally we like to have that space, but this is there's parking along there. Mm-hmm. So it actually, for people to get out of their car, gives them a space. The other thing it does is, so that results in some more saved trees. So we support that.
Yeah.
And preliminary, I mean, hasn't been engineered, the grading, but now there's more space between the back of the sidewalk and the building. So that is where we're continuing to push and look for, are there more trees that can be saved now with that extra space?
That's great. As you've heard me express, the longer I'm in this, the less favorable I am about planter strips. And because it's particularly where you have parking. You've got a great buffer, and boy, it's nice to step out of the car onto a sidewalk instead of into a ditch or into a
planter strip,
wet, soggy planter strip, as I'm doing in front of my house now every day. So, okay, great, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Get to page. That's weird. 2 of 11. I guess of the actual agreement. Under number C. The affordability reporting requirements, I feel they could use some more clarity on how the owner is to verify and report I'm assuming from what I've read that this is not going to be a notice on title. This is just being governed through this development agreement.
The HUD requirements might require notice on title.
I know it's a tricky exercise. Here in numbers in C and 3C, I think I heard in answer to a prior comment that there are no specific units being identified, any unit would be qualified accordingly, which is good because that goes to one of my questions, which was what are the standards of constructions and amenities, so that, you know, are all units being built as equal? I heard that stated. That's great. It'd be better if it were in writing or in clarity, right? That we know that it's, and I applaud this developer because of the approach they're taking, but other developers might take the approach of the affordable units are all the basement units or smallest units or whatever else, you know, in any complex of size, there's obviously considered to be more attractive and less attractive. And so I applaud the approach that they're stating they're taking, but I think that should be in there.
Is that a requirement of HUD, Holly?
That is, though, stated in the
site plan approval
ordinance. Okay. I mean, it's referred to in the ordinance as is the tree retention, so I don't know if we have to repeat it.
Okay. I'll double check that.
See, I think we heard all about the water and got all the answers on that.
Before you move on. Before you have to move on.
Yeah.
3B, and maybe I have the definition of fronting wrong, but buildings 4, 6, and 7 aren't on Cedar Falls Way.
Hmm.
They're on 136th.
I don't think they could be on Cedar Falls Way, could they? Nice catch.
Southeast 136th.
Is Southeast 136 being renamed?
No. To Cedar Falls Way? That'd be really confusing. Go to Cedar Falls Way and Cedar Falls Way. Okay. Thank you.
Good catch.
We've only looked at this for months.
I was wondering if Holly, this might be a good spot to just talk about what these units might look like, or how many units. You described that a little bit, so there might be, like, would there be any one-bedroom ones, or two or three?
I don't think we have the building plans here.
I was going to bring the board, but I didn't.
We have very detailed building plans, but I guess just for quick reference, all the buildings here, other than these two buildings on the front, all of these buildings would be two-bedroom units. They're all the same footprint. They're all 1,100 square feet. They're just stacked above each other, so there's not a lot of variation other than just three levels. But I shouldn't say there's not a lot of variation. We do have variations in the frontage and the outside finishes and colors and everything within them. And then all the two buildings up front, 10 units each, would be townhomes. They're three stories, three bedroom, two and a half bath. And they all have, you know, quartz countertops and stainless steel appliances and nice finishes.
Are you worked up in agreement with Chinook not to have clearing light from their project, from their business into the park?
We haven't. We have in our permit documents, we have a requirement for lighting, but we haven't had an agreement with Chinook. We have to stay within a certain glare.
Chinook was subject to the same lighting regulations that this is, which requires full cutoff, which means the light is only pointing down and can't point out. Mm-hmm. So
can't leave their sight.
They probably have a lot of security issues with nighttime lighting.
I think kind of related to what's being discussed now, I've got my note under the impact fee section on page 3 of 11. I'm curious about the plans, since the development agreement is silent, and I assume maybe should be, but about phasing or lease up, because those impact fees, of course, are by building permit issued, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of buildings here. And mm-hmm. so is there anything to the timing of that? Do you feel this is adequate? In other words, I could pull all my building permits in 19. My phasing and build out might take 3 more years.
Correct.
Our plan is to pull all of the building permits at once mm-hmm. and to build it in 2 phases, starting on the east side, that half, and including the clubhouse, and then the second phase will be the west mm-hmm. part of it. We won't build one phase without the other. So we haven't put as much emphasis on the phasing because it's all one project and we're not going to do parts of it. It's going to be all or nothing. But for the phasing and the lease up, we're expecting that the first phase would be done with the construction climate right now. It might be stretching to 20-so months. And then hopefully within 18 months after that, we'd have the second half done. Mm-hmm. It's going to be kind of one building permit, but each building is going to have a separate inspection and kind of a sub-permit under it. We're restricted by HUD. We're restricted by HUD to no unknown costs. So we have a contingency, but we are not allowed. They will not fund our loan. They will not approve our loan if we have any big question marks. And so the impact fees, if they go up, if they don't know what those numbers are going to be, they can reject the loan.
And so that was the question that I had, mm-hmm. was kind of the rationale behind fixing the impact fees, even though the development might be actually out there in a couple of years, and those impact fees may change, and the cost of the impact of the development is going to be out there in 2024.
Well, you know, that brings up a good point, because the phasing, the sequencing of the permit and the funding is very much a reason for a lot of what we've done with the city. HUD will not allow us, they will not fund our project until we have the building permit. Mm-hmm. So we have to get the building permit and the funding at the same time. Mm-hmm. So once the funding comes in, then we're building, right? So it all kind of happens simultaneously. Mm-hmm. We can't do one without the other. They all kind of have to happen the same day. Or week, or whatever.
So we're vesting park transportation and fire. Of course, I understand that we don't have the ability to best school. We've created several other impact fees of late and more coming. Those are not mentioned here. Is that a problem for the HUD funding?
We had requested that they all be frozen, but we got pretty severe pushback on the others because some of them are tied to significant cost increases that the city is incurring right now.
I totally get that. I'm just asking, is that going to threaten your funding? Or are we going to go through this again?
Well, I think they will be established enough that we can report to, and we've already reported stormwater, sewer, and some of those that are being newly paid or newly enforced. So we've budgeted for that. If we could freeze them, we would feel a lot more comfortable, but we understand.
Well, we prefer they not any of them be frozen, but I get that. But I was thinking of our new trail and bike and around the corner, I believe we're about to introduce the public facilities.
Doesn't the development agreement exclude us from any new ones that weren't in
In 2018, I thought that was your SEPA brings up those two fees, and I think, like you said, you have estimates on those, and so.
So
but if there was any new now, no.
So I guess the comment that I wrote down in this regard is that this should be clarified. It should be speaking to if it's not, if something excluded. I think it should just clarify that.
But maybe not the language said that, like the trail one.
No.
Maybe that
Well, unless I missed it,
so I didn't see that either.
Right. So these are the only ones: park, transportation, and fire. SEPA, like I said, that this development is subject to the facilities fee and the trail fee for the SEPA requirements. And then the other ones: the sewer and the school and the,
GFCs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I maybe it's all it takes is that one line with these three exceptions, all other fees will be asked. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just seemed silent.
Yeah, I had a similar question and a suggestion because that really gets to the HUD funding, and there was something else in here that kind of spoke to the HUD funding as well. I think it would be helpful if there's a whereas in the upfront that kind of creates that context, because a lot of these things are really trying to address that, and the rationale behind those things isn't really, it's not really
it's not spelled out.
So, I mean, I don't think we need to do a dissertation, but I think capturing that constraint would be helpful.
The reason we're here is because HUD already told us no because the costs were too high, so we've had to go back to the drawing board, and that's
right. Right. Really, so we're trying to create some certainty around
the
costs associated with the project.
So, I think this next comment goes to kind of a rounding out of a lot of what I was thinking about as I read this is Section 8. Still on page 3 on the binding of future landowners, which is discussing, of course, the ability that any owner would have to sell or otherwise dispose of the site, and it speaks to perhaps not in its entirety. The last sentence here, I get really wrapped around the ankle. Notwithstanding, should construction of the project not commence prior to a sale, assignment, or conveyance, any subsequent landowner shall not be obligated to this agreement. Now that seems like a pretty good out of the whole agreement.
I think the city attorney's drafted this, so.
Sounds like it.
I mean, I suppose in one sense, the gives go away as well, and then the previous code would apply. That overall makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a caution.
Probably sure you're concerned with that. That was one of the only things I saw that caused me pause to this project. Goes with the land.
I think what
I'm reading is that it doesn't.
That's right.
If it gets sold tomorrow,
right.
This goes away,
right.
And I don't know which is more in our interest. For this to go away or for this to be enforceable.
Well, it could conceivably
I'm not sure what the
be
right
a
answer is.
Different project.
Correct.
That's true too.
Could be an industrial project. It could be a lot of things.
Right.
Yeah, I'll ask, but I'm not sure that they're going to want to change it.
All I can do is speculate.
Right, it's just, you know, the intent is this is the agreement now with this party. And that's as far as it goes.
If our lawyer's telling us this best protects us, great.
Right.
And I think similarly, I mean, it's this, I get, it's the same sort of a feeling that on page 5, bottom, clause 19, termination on the city. It's a similar sort of a thing. It's speaking to vesting,
mm-hmm.
and my question would be: is the loss of vesting include the underlying original vesting, or is it only talking about this particular document?
Let me read this real quick. Vested pursuant to this agreement shall no longer be vested. So they could abandon this agreement and still be vested to their other land use. But if this project goes away and a new project comes in, they would be vested to new, which would not, you know, there'd be new uses that would be allowed, new tree regulations.
Yeah, I read that.
Provided
exactly the clause that you said. And then I got a little hung up on the parenthetical at the end of the, where it's, it seems to go on.
I have a question. Would what is vested still be vested under the ordinance?
That's my question.
If the development agreement went away, would mm-hmm. the ordinance still be in place?
Okay. That's how I understand it.
And the ordinance is what sets out all the other conditions.
You'd be vested to your project that's not the revised site plan.
Right. Okay.
And that's kind of the clarification that I'm exactly asking about.
But at that point, the land's been disturbed to the point under the original agreement that it wouldn't, you know, any future agreement wouldn't have much
that would be
change unless it was the situation.
When you say the land's been disturbed, we can't touch the land, according to HUD, until we have permits and the loan and everything. So there's no activity that can be done until all of this is complete.
Right, but then at some midpoint along the development course,
once the
your partners decide it's time to bail, it's not going to work out in time. That will be a timely completion.
That's a good question. What's the effective date of the DA?
Upon signing, upon approval by the council.
So then this DA remains intact mm-hmm. through the completion of construction?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But not under this paragraph.
So we get, kind of going back to Mr. Tao's question about the DA and what might not be missing here. What's the underlying approval? Is it a BSP?
Site plan approval.
And so it's a administrative action, mm-hmm. fully right.
Mm-hmm.
So no hearing examiner involved. What other documents, if any, apply as the requirements? In other words, I'm used to a set of conditions, so I don't have a set of conditions
right.
to reference
there's
here.
There's a set of conditions
on the site plan. There's SEPA. There are engineering. The design review, which took about a year.
There's about this many conditions.
Yeah.
And so all of that is previously
correct.
Worked through, approved, and
right.
remains in place.
Right. We're going to have some changes, like I said. You know.
Okay. I guess that's where I just got stuck, especially with some of the comments made, is that we've got a very thin slice that's really
mm-hmm.
just about this one
correct.
Element of the code.
Right.
So that, I think, creates those extra, well,
wait questions. A minute, what about? Yeah, because you guys did not review this project.
Yeah. So it just it raised more questions than it probably needed to. Okay. I'm good.
James, anything?
I have one request based on this conversation that we're having. All of the other conditions we're already bound to.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have a revised site plan and grading plan, and we have a proposed site plan with hopeful savings mm-hmm. of trees, and that's mm-hmm. our goal is to save the trees. But I'm requesting that maybe we don't have an exact number that we're bound to in this DA because we haven't had, we're going to have to spend a lot of money to figure out exactly what that number is going to be. And our goal is to save them, but I'm hoping that we can stay within the language that we're already bound to and then say something about an addition of trees. Mm-hmm. But I request that we don't be stuck to one number because mm-hmm. it's going to take some time to really evaluate everything. And our arborist has given us all the answers depending on what the eventual grading will be.
Mm-hmm.
Can I suggest that something that I think that meets the applicant's desire there is, and what I would assume staff would be doing is that this development agreement, if approved by council, be approved in conjunction with the revised site plan and any revisions to conditions, that it be a package. I would assume it would be a package that goes to council.
Well, no, this is preceding their engineering,
mm-hmm.
so we can't take that at the same time as
okay,
the
they
council.
Need this ahead of
mm-hmm.
doing the engineering.
So do the go ahead. Yep.
There's a lot of
I'm gonna try.
But like I've said and Holly said, they already have approval based on meeting the code.
Right.
And with this, they are actually increasing the number of trees by 22 is the minimum we think, and up to 31.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not going to go below what they've already been approved and what the code is.
Well, I'm thinking beyond the trees to other comments that were made. You know, we've got more of a conceptual site
mm-hmm.
plan. It's not the site plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be more comfortable if it was the site plan. But
right.
I get the engineering hiccup.
And it's not going to be able to change much. I mean, they have to dial it in pretty well because we're not willing to let... have a reduction in parking.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be able to treat the stormwater, so they haven't changed the impervious too much. I mean, stuff like that. It is kind of late in the game. We're going to change as few things as we can because otherwise there's just too many uncertainties and they'd be back to a new project. So.
We're hoping to minimize our engineering costs to somewhere in the less than
yeah.
It gets to
6 digits
awfully fast.
Are there other concerns with planning commission?
Just another question. Kind of gets to just a philosophical concern about any time we're freezing a cost or waiving an
mm-hmm.
impact fee for something that's going to happen in the future. What is the current practice? Are impact fees is evaluated on an annual basis,
yes.
changed
mm-hmm.
on an annual basis?
Mm-hmm.
So for 2019, has that been done yet?
A lot of times, unless there's a substantial change, they go up a few percent, I would
mm-hmm.
say, is the average.
January 1st, it's increased for inflation.
Is the average. And there's the ones that are substantial, like our
yeah.
stormwater went from, what was it,
40%.
Yeah, it went up 40%. So, and it's generally, we don't like to freeze fees. It is really a special allowance. Now, this was reviewed by 3 council members. It hasn't been to the full council yet.
And I would say in this regard also, we're in December.
Right.
You know, the fee changes in the next 12 months, if we have increases in any
mm-hmm.
of these three, they'll happen late in the year, typically.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
That's kind of what I'm getting
at. It's quite likely they're going to be underway before that actually changes.
Well, that's why I'm asking. do we know? We know that the permits will be picked up, granted in 2019, and the construction is going to occur over 2019, 2020, maybe into 2021, depending on the climate you mentioned. Yeah. So have we determined the 2019 impact fees? Because this is going back to October. We're already in December. It just seems like if we know what the 2019 fees are, if they are going up, that should be what we kind of lock in on.
Don't know the reason for the October date.
It's going to be my guess. Well, perhaps to kind of address you, what you're mentioning is the COLA increase that takes place in January. Maybe that should be the lock-in date.
I think that's the lock-in date.
I'm sorry, there wouldn't be a freeze then, because it would be the freeze is to keep it at 2018.
It still would. I think what we're suggesting
there's is not a change
by the
until
time
then.
The council can even act on this, the COLA will have taken place.
Right.
So whatever that is in January would be the fee through all of January, all of
2019. Yes,
right.
I think they're trying to avoid the COLA getting tacked on to their fee.
Right, I can get that.
Right.
Feels like that is an appropriate cutoff point. If we know that the fees are going up and they go up for a reason, we use COLA, I guess, as the benchmark for that. It seems like those impact fees.
I'm sure all of those.
It's not all of them.
Well,
certain of them are adjusted for inflation.
Yeah.
Others are just adjusted when the fee or the rate study is done.
Right. So without trying to wordsmith it here, I think it's. If there's support for doing this, this is just a suggestion that feels appropriate to me, is to lock in on what will be the fees for 2019 and freeze it at that point.
Or you could make that as a motion. You could make that an edit. I don't think anything we've discussed so far tonight has resulted in us requesting an edit to the document. Raise questions for staff to look at some changes, but I'm saying that if you feel strongly enough about it, that would be one that if we were going to take action,
are we taking action
to approve this, then we should, if you want that in, we should take that specific action or not, or it could be to remain a recommendation.
Clarification on that, the impact fees are on a project are paid with completion?
At the time the building permit is picked up.
Okay, so that way, so we're either talking 18 or 19.
Yeah.
So it's, we must be talking a lot of money, I guess, if it's that big of a concern.
Yes. Just transportation is $960,000.
That the difference between 18 and 19?
No,
the
amount.
What we're locked into right now is $960,000. It goes up and then revise our budget and our effort right
now
is
to
try to minimize
our budget so that we can get approved. Okay.
So
we continue to
add costs. It's just
going to. Was your concern what that difference is? I mean, what the amount is?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know what it is exactly.
The policy concerns, the impact fees are there for a reason. They're there to mitigate the impacts of the project. And if those costs are going up, then we should have those costs memorialized in the agreement. So it would be whatever that difference is between what the 2018 fees and the 2019 fees.
I mean, maybe another way to look at it, too, is like, I don't know how often this is done, but is it a precedent we want to start, you know, to go down the road? Mm-hmm. It sounds like there needs to be cost savings somehow, but it doesn't have to be this way, I would assume. It's a way that was discussed. It sounds like it may be easy. I don't know if I have an opinion for or against it. But,
I guess context, what I was trying to work through in my head here is the transportation alone, it's at 960 right now. If it was a 3% COLA change, you're talking
$30,000.
Right, so now they're almost at $1 million, but it's $30,000 to us, and but that's one fee. That is the one. Just right.
I just think from a public policy standpoint, if we're going to take action on it, certainly.
And I think generally the city council would agree with you. I think the reason they entertained this request was because, maybe, I'm assuming, the building permit's been ready to pick up for a number of months. So I don't know, Holly, you should have just picked it up and paid the fees and then went to HUD and said, hey, never mind, I'm going to do a development agreement. So that could have happened too. And where I think Chinook. They had already picked up their building permit, right? And then they started a development agreement after.
We can't pick up our building permit without our
right.
That's my question.
It's the chicken and the egg, yeah. But I think the city, the council committee recognized that they are losing, some if they vest them to what they requested, which is this year. That's why they were only willing to do it if they picked up their permit next year. So it is a give. And like I said, the development agreements are a give and take. So
I guess where I would land, I'll just state where I'm going to land on it, is that while it concerns me the potential loss of that additional impact fee, I think the benefits of this program and its what it's going to do for us have been well considered, and I also believe that in addition to staff reporting back to the committee, a number of council members will more than likely listen to this deliberation, and they'll be well informed about that issue, and ultimately they need to make that decision, and I'm comfortable passing it as is.
Any additional thoughts?
No, same thought.
Are there other concerns?
I'll be voting against it. I'll be voting against this project. What I see happening here is just another wonderful project that's going to take us down the road we don't want to be in terms of how we visualize our city. We'll end up with a beautiful project, but we'll be ending up with the town we're looking for. And how many of these projects can we stand before we lose that vision? We need to figure it out, and we haven't got to figure it out here. I won't be supporting.
Just one clarification, is the project could still move forward without the DA, and the DA is just about to enable.
I'm not trying to stop it, I'm just saying I'm not going to lend my voice to it.
Mr. Chair?
I like the project overall. As I mentioned, the tree situation I don't really like on that the corner of the gateway, and I guess I'm just curious if more focus could be put between buildings 2 and 3. At least it looks like in an area you might be able to, that would be set back far enough from the utilities. There's, you know, the sidewalk, I guess a meandering sidewalk that comes off from the roundabout. And there's a path going into the parking lot. I just wonder if there could be, I'm guessing those are all planted trees and the whole area will be cut in between buildings 2 and 3. Those ones, the green ones are retained?
The green ones along the sidewalk are planted and the circles around the other ones
are retained. Are you talking about between buildings 2 and 3 at the corner?
Yeah.
There's several of those that are retained. This is a different drawing from Everest, but those are retained.
Well, this one, I guess, is the one we were given, and there's there's green trees, and then there's kind of larger yellow green. I don't know if those are planted or saved.
It's black on mine.
Yeah, they're dark green.
Likewise, these are retained, right?
I think they're.
I'm pretty sure
I thought they were planted.
They were?
I think they're planted.
That's what I had heard from Jamie earlier. Mm-hmm. So I don't. That's why.
You can see by the floor.
I mean, that was just a question I had. I read in the document says there's 22 additional trees retained, and I see the red circles.
Red
but
circles.
What were the what's the original number of trees, and where are those located?
That are going to be retained?
Yeah,
or
that were originally, because you're talking, you quoted the 22 additional.
That shows it a little bit better. Right, there's, but that doesn't give you the total. It's, is there about 600 on site?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to retain 15% of that?
I think it was about 80.
I think, at least, I was thinking of more than that, but,
890. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Last night said 18%, 57.5 tree credits. That was what I read off the city website last night on one of the older ones. So.
Yeah.
I didn't bring
I can get you that information, but on the existing site plan approval, and then they have to, any of the trees that are removed, they have to replant, so they're upwards of 600-700 trees they're having to plant on site or in lieu.
What was the so they cut down more trees than they were supposed to? What's the replant ratio? So say they had to leave 18%, the project's done, they only left 15% because they had to cut down some extra trees or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What's the replant ratio like? Do they have to replant 3 trees for every one they cut down?
Yes. Yeah, it's generally 2-to-1, but they would have to get approval to go below that percentage. And I do know for the arborist, our arborist recognized some of those trees on Chinook's property that were infested. And I think there were a few on this property, but not a lot. It didn't seem to extend too far into this property.
Our arborist actually noted the root rot
mm-hmm.
on Chinook's site.
Yeah, and let them know about it.
Yeah.
So then along with that, so on the Chinook site, any tree that the arborist came in and said is dangerous and has to be cut down,
yes.
I was told that you didn't have to replace anything for that. So even
if it was above and beyond, they may not have had to.
Even if it cut into the 20% or 18% or they had to leave, we were told that they didn't have to replant that because an arborist said that's dangerous.
If it's a dead tree, it doesn't have
if
to be
if it's dead
replaced.
Or diseased, you don't have to replace. Otherwise,
so
you
right.
should have to.
Okay. There you go. So that's where this is like what we brought up earlier, what we were concerned about is all of a sudden now the trees they left aren't safe.
Right.
You know, the top's dead or has an infestation or whatever. Now they have to cut it out. Now we're down to we're down to only 14% tree retention. There's nothing that's holding them to anything, right? I mean,
and that's not ideal. You should know before the project starts the health of every tree.
Yeah.
You know, if they damage it, that's their fault, and they should replant.
And in the context of Chinook, they were well beyond their minimum requirements, so that didn't. And diseased and dead trees aren't counted as significant trees to begin with. So those don't count toward your retention requirement.
Well, anyway, that's my comment is, there's, I don't know if there's shifting of that building 3 down 136th Street,
mm-hmm.
Reduce the setback from that parking area, but that's, if there's nothing that you could do essentially along saving trees along 436th, where those buildings 1 and 2 are, maybe
mm-hmm.
in between 2 and 3 in that corner pocket,
mm-hmm.
Some sort of cluster, because, I mean, Dick printed off the aerial, and, I mean, anyone that's driven by there knows it's covered in trees, and I know there will be some saved, but we've all had conversations. One of the first things I thought of being on this commission is just the setback from the road, and
mm-hmm.
if there isn't any at all here, well, sounds like they'll be decent-looking apartments, but that's what we're going to be looking at. So I would just urge another look at that.
Mm-hmm.
That's important to a lot of our citizens.
Mm-hmm.
An example of what I think was good intentions was the project just west of the church. You walk down that neighborhood and you see the trees that were planted. They're like a foot, 2 feet away from the house.
West of the church?
When they get to be just 10 years old, they're going to be cutting those things down because they're going to be knocking against the house. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely the most mistaken attempt at revegetating a site I've ever seen. It doesn't make sense to put a cedar within 3 feet of a house, for God's sake. So you intend that tree to have any life. Mm-hmm. If you intend the house to have any structure left. I mean, it's just stupid. So you can't go around doing that kind of thing and calling it satisfying the nature of the community. It just isn't right. It's not even well thought out. Angers me.
All right, so you're looking for this, our opinion on this?
And council committee will be reviewing it on Tuesday. They have a meeting at 4, so I will definitely share your comments and changes if there's any, based on the questions and the input from the attorney.
So I saw
it's a short turnaround.
Email the next city council meeting is canceled or something like that.
Right. So if it would be January 8th would be the next meeting.
Mr. Chair, you ready for a motion?
Yes.
Get it moving. I move the approval of the development agreement between the City of North Bend and North Bend Associates LLC, otherwise known as River Run Apartments, as presented tonight.
I'll second.
Okay. Any final comments?
Well,
okay. Mr. Kyle.
I'd like to move to amend item 5, impact fees, to read that the developer shall pay the wordsmith this later, but the developer shall pay the established 2019 park transportation and fire impact fees, and then keep the provided that those items.
Oh, sorry, you're offering as a friendly amendment, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Could you repeat what specifically you're looking to change?
Eliminate the October 3rd, 2018, and in its place with the impact fees for those items that are in effect for 2019.
So there wouldn't be no freezing that would occur. So,
there's not just a 2019 rate. You have to lock it in like at January 1st or a date certain.
Whatever the
he would be January 1st,
park transportation and fire impact fees. Mm-hmm.
And that would hold through.
So if there's
the
a COLA that kicks in on any of those or all of right. those in January 1st, that would apply.
Okay.
So just to clarify, you're suggesting strike October 3rd, 2018, replace it with January 1st, 2019.
Yes.
Yes. Just what it wouldn't say would have been due, I guess it would say would be due. Right? Or mm-hmm. would be in effect January 1st.
As do so, strike would have been.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd accept that.
So that's a friendly amendment. I guess I have a couple
so
of
I think we before you take yeah before you take off from there. I think we need to
yeah
we, vote on
we need to vote on okay. on the amendment first. Right.
Mm-hmm. I think it's. I mean, I don't know how much of a financial impact that was in the project. Sounds like it was a concern. And your thought is, well, if they say they can't do the project, then we'll support it.
I do, because our policy is to have these mitigation fees in place for a reason. There are impacts for these developments, and if we waive them, if we reduce the actual cost to mitigate mm-hmm. the development, because those responsibilities don't lie with the developer, they pay a fee. It now becomes the city's burden or other public service agencies' burden to try and mitigate the fees, and they're doing that with less money than the cost is. So it shifts the burden to the taxpayers versus the developer. So I don't think we should be, by policy, reducing our stated impact fees to facilitate an individual project. If we want to go back and reevaluate how we apply impact fees, totally on board with that. But I don't think we should either waive them, freeze them, reduce them for an individual project. I think that's bad.
Have we done that before?
There are specific waivers and reductions for impact fees for when you achieve a certain level of affordability, and I don't think that this project meets those criteria. They're somewhere a little above that, still providing some affordability. But yeah.
With other recent development agreements, do you know?
No, I don't think anybody's pursued
a freeze of fees.
No.
Like I said, very.
So if it was
Council has granted a couple of fee reductions, Chinook being one, but that
was that allowed in code,
that
though?
From,
okay.
Through us.
Through the development.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if more affordable housing, if that's how it's worded, if the housing was more affordable, then that would be more likely to authorize or be allowed, or we've done that before. So
we haven't encountered that before.
We haven't had a problem.
But it's more likely that.
Right.
We
also offer, the code offers reductions.
We wouldn't do tonight, but.
Right.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to call the question. We either voted in or out.
All in favor? Then?
Yeah.
All in favor of Mr. Howe's proposed change to freeze the impact fees?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Was that unanimous?
4-1?
Yeah. Okay.
No, I said nay.
Okay. Okay.
4-1.
Can I add a couple others that we talked about and seem to be general agreement? So I would amend the agreement to include the, it's not in here, to include the previously agreed to tree retention.
Okay, and that's not changing, that's not proposed to change, even though it's not detailed in here.
Right.
Yeah. We could add some tree preservation language on page 2, it'd be section 3D. So I'll run that through legal, and we can add something.
Without specific language, I'm not comfortable making a part of this. Do we have specific language? Maybe you obviously, but it's a recommendation that would be added.
It in the agreement. The agreement should be memorialized what has been agreed to, and that has been agreed to. It's not.
What are you looking for? Are you looking for language about it shall be no less than what was previously approved?
Because it sounds like that's really what the agreement was all about, is the minimum of this and kind of range. So
I guess I don't know that you need to say it needs to be, it can't be less than previously approved, because that's the code. The code's not going to let you go.
But I thought they were exceeding what the code requirement was.
Yes.
They agreed to do that.
They agreed to do that, and because they don't have the engineering, they have not done the engineering yet, is where they were hesitant to give a number. We believe it's between 22 and 31 trees. I'm not sure if you want to be that vague in the development agreement, but we could say that. We could say tree preservation is expected to exceed what was previously approved at approximately, an additional 22 trees are expected to be, you could put something like that in, just to frame it, but. And like you said, it doesn't have language that's part of the goal here is increased tree preservation. I think council committee has supported that.
As a visual, how large is the new city hall site?
Oh, how many acres is the city hall?
It's hard to know because it's all part of the public works property, so there's not a.
But just the.
I'd roughly guess 5 acres.
I was going to say 5, yeah.
And we got one tree on that lot.
No, there's quite a few trees.
But the significant tree is that for next to the main building.
That's the one that's in the center of the site, but at the perimeter, there's a lot of trees being retained.
Yeah. So I think I hear you on that one. We can definitely add it in, but I'm not sure if there need. I don't think we have that language exactly tonight.
Trying to look for a decent place that it could be added.
Well, let me try a different way. Maybe it could be in the whereas. Whereas an agreement has been reached between the city and the developer to increase the amount of trees retained to between 22 and 31. Now, it's not in the agreement per se, but it is at least
The goal. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay. Is that something that...
I like the direction you're going. What are we specifically saying?
Whereas
an
agreement has the city and the developer have agreed to.
Whereas a purpose of this development agreement
is to
retain additional trees beyond what was provided under the prior.
Exactly. Yes, I think that's.
Not have a number, but just identify the.
Say it again. Or write it. Go ahead and write it and then read it to me.
I have to say it as I go along. Whereas a purpose of this development agreement is to increase the number of trees retained beyond that which was approved under the prior development proposal.
Yes.
Or authorized under the prior development.
Okay. I accept that.
Okay.
That work for you? Okay.
We vote on.
Call the question.
We'll do a motion on this one as well.
It's already moved. I second it.
Okay.
I accepted it.
So, all those in favor of adding in the tree retention modification?
As a whereas.
As a whereas. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You guys all ayes on that one? All right.
I have one more. I'll move to. Amend
to.
I accepted it as a friend.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll move to include a whereas on page one to reflect the HUD
funding requirements
funding,
and constraints.
Clarity requirements and constraints, something like that.
I'll wait for Mike the words.
Oh, there is some language in here. Hold on. Look at some staff reports, and it says, here's what's in the staff report. The applicant has requested this DA for financial reasons due to the HUD funding this project is obtaining. We could say that.
Either that or something like that.
Whereas a requirement of HUD funding.
I was thinking slightly different. So whereas this development agreement provides the developer with improved cost certainty or cost information to facilitate financing requirements.
This development agreement provides the applicant with cost certainty and
additional cost certainty to meet HUD requirements.
Okay.
Additional cost certainty.
Yeah.
That means. Funding requirements.
Financing requirements or funding.
So, okay. Whereas this development agreement provides the applicant additional cost certainty that meets HUD funding requirements.
Yes.
Yes. I accept that.
You second that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All those in favor of the amendment of adding in the language but the HUD certainty, say aye.
Aye.
Thanks, everybody.
Is approved.
Okay. Okay, call the question. Or anybody else say something new?
All those in favor of recommending the development agreement for River Run Apartments, say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Okay, one opposed. Mr. Ryan? The motion carries forward. Not unanimous.
Mr. Chair, point of order.
Yes.
I would like to recommend that we adjust our agenda this evening to strike agenda item 7 until our next meeting and instead take up agenda item 8 in the remaining time, unless commissioners would like to extend a considerable amount of time this evening.
My comment on that is that sounds like a pretty good plan. I did get through the medium density, but there is a lot of information. What was printed there's a lot of clicks that you can make in there.
Yeah.
And some of it says site
cool
under construction, but it's a lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah, so. And this is initial direction. So based on your request, one request I would have is there more information you're looking for that would help you at our next meeting? So other than that, yeah, definitely.
You know, I think my comment to that bleeds into the proposed agenda for the work plan for next year. So
I don't know if there's more information necessarily, but it's I think all was probably, maybe it's expected that we're supposed to be looking
at.
Thank you
for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. At Google Maps and things, but you just have to figure out what's there already. I think that's kind of important to me.
Okay.
On those zones, I see the cloud kind of looking thing, which is where the medium density would be going. So that's some of what my comments will be. Next meeting is the location of where it would go. I think the concept is great, and I think you've given a number of good options, and those visuals helped me.
Yeah.
After I spent some time looking at it, and I could use some more. So,
yeah. Mike, I would request a higher resolution map, the PDF that was kind of blurred out.
The this map?
Yeah. Is there a way to get that a little bit better? Get the rest of this crossed out just so you
know. There is a community right in our midst that might understand what the middle community would be right down there at the foot of so-called Ridge Parkway. The same thing. Mike, you had the other name with that.
Yeah, it's False Crossing. Or not False Crossing, it's Kimberley Village.
Yeah. It's unique to the ridge, and it seems like it would fit what we're looking at. It's a very high density, very modern looking. It's got mixed use of it, which doesn't include this zone, but it's not that we couldn't include it. The mixed use actually cements that community, but there's about 500 folks that live in that community. It's just about maybe 80 acres.
I'm not sure how big it is. It actually, as a technical point, it wasn't part of Snoqualmie Ridge, but
it
is an interesting, dense community.
Yeah, it is.
And yeah, the commercial area at the front definitely makes it work.
So it's a smart looking operation.
Is that the one that's kind of across the street from the fire station?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So my question, I'm sorry.
I'm done.
My question would be, I know there is a new fancy-gancy interactive map being worked on where we would be able to look at layers of things. Is it possible that's going to be done?
I'm not sure.
The this time? This is a project of Jesse's.
Development map? Or?
Well, as I heard about it, I can't say that I've seen it or know exactly what it, but my understanding was it was being designed to be able to turn on and off layers so we could see, for instance, mm-hmm. we're looking at a particular area, we could overlay mm-hmm. the flood zoning mm-hmm. or pull it off. We can look at the residential mm-hmm. zoning or the house, you know, whatever mm-hmm. our zoning is, and move, you know, so that mm-hmm. so that we're able to kind of see various things that impact a particular area mm-hmm. of the city. So if Jesse happens to be far enough along in that, by the time we take
we can ask him.
That being projected would be awesome.
That's possible with the PDF, even.
No, I don't think it's. I think it's going to be on the website and.
Some of those functions are also available on King County's iMap. I know I can turn off layers on topography mm-hmm. and flood. And
yeah, but
aerial.
I'd like to be able to look at our zone map.
Been working on some of that.
That's
you can at least look at the parcels.
So, in 2 minutes. Well, before we before we go on there. Just, Mike, for next meeting, you brought up tiny homes, and it might have been mentioned at other meetings, but maybe if you know of, or for the next meeting, just bring an example if you know of a place that's actually done that, because it just sounds like a homeless camp to me.
Right there in North Bend. 450 square feet.
I could see one in someone's backyard, and that's how I would see them, you know, that person would rent to them, but not a community of them.
Okay.
Unless it was like, you know, that's what I'm saying, homeless shelter, kind of joking, because 400 mm-hmm. square feet is totally livable, but it's small. And I don't know if we have a community like that, or what that might look like, or what the cluster size might be, just to help out on that, to see that would help with being supportive of something like that.
Yeah, you could probably build that under a lot of trees.
Yeah. Wouldn't need to cut any down, huh?
A tree house.
On skids, you're not going to do a lot of grading.
All right. Well, that sounds good. So we'll move on to our work plan for 2019.
Yeah, so this is just to give you a heads up. We have a tidal wave coming. It sweeps all over. Enormous amount of work ahead. And the big thing that we have coming for you is a lot of our zoning map amendments. To start out, the shoreline regulations, so that will be coming back to you. You did 90% of that work when you were doing the creek area update, so this is now transferring that to our shoreline regulations, and you'll be looking a little bit more specifically at shoreline buffers. But a lot of the critical area provisions that are also within shoreline regulations will be largely the same.
Mm-hmm. Can't seem to get rid of that dang shoreline.
Yeah.
It keeps coming back.
Yeah. So I will be gone on the January the 10th. I don't know if that's critical to being able to take action on that, but
No, I'll miss that meeting. Would have the hearing and action maybe at the next meeting. There's not changes in buffers proposed for the shoreline like there was for critical areas, and so it's a lot of organization and not a lot of substance.
Mr. Chair, do we need to move for a 15-minute extension?
Sure.
Just respecting the rules.
Yes. So.
Yeah. I'll
say.
All right. All in favor of 15 minutes if we need it? Say
aye.
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 Council committee is reviewing again the critical area regulations. They, just an update at the last meeting, they consider your buffer proposal for the King County Urban. And Jesse created a web map that we're clicking on and off the changes in the buffers and what that means. So I'm hoping maybe to get direction from them next week.
That's probably what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But I think that the last CED meeting, they were talking about broadening that.
Yeah, this one he did is mostly just the buffers, but yeah, he can add layer upon, detail. So.
Go ahead.
Ah, you succumbed. I thought he's coming over to hit me.
Didn't know that about that.
I started eating the candy. Good
late, Mike.
Right, Michael.
We moved the medium density conversation to next meeting.
So on the medium density, where did I see that?
That's done in March. Yeah, just because we do have a number of things that we need to bring through that are a little more time sensitive. So
what happens to the affordable workforce housing?
That's a part of this idea, and then also we'll be bringing that back in later in the year, in May. No, not May. July.
No, it's July.
Introduction of affordable housing regulations.
Which my question, which I'm looking forward to that topic. And my question is, you've got us scheduled all summer long.
We do. We'll be able to shift this around. This is always subject to a lot of change. Things take longer than we expect. Other things come in from the size that we don't expect. And so,
there's no planned meeting off. I know that's happened frequently because of typical vacation.
Well, Planning Commission can always give us direction that we're happy to take.
Yeah. Yeah, and if a number of you have the same, meeting, you're going to miss.
I'll leave anytime Gary wants to.
Well, it looks like Jesse's on vacation August 22nd.
So maybe the rest of us should be.
February 28th, you're targeting food truck regulations. I didn't see it taken up anywhere else. I don't see that as a one meeting topic, if that's what that's implying. I think that's going to be huge.
Okay. Yeah, we can.
I think it's easily two meetings, but, and I could be wrong, but I think that's going to get some feedback.
Okay.
Yeah, I think in general, I think you've mentioned that in the past, Mike, that we don't have an introduction and recommendation at the same meeting.
We generally don't unless we feel like it was a simpler thing, and I think our thoughts initially was that was a simpler thing, but maybe it won't be. So. Okay.
I don't get the other item bullet there in February. My brain can't wrap around enable longer-term temporary use. Mm-hmm. What temporary uses?
Right now we've got a 45-day limit on any temporary use, and there's a lot of circumstances where somebody needs to set up some kind of interim business thing. Maybe they're storing something for somebody for 90 days or whatever it is. So. Okay. There's an in-between. If you go beyond 45 days right now, the code requires you actually go to a hearing examiner, which is a big process.
Okay.
Why can't that be an administrative decision? Why does that have to be a plan?
No, I totally agree. It should be. The way our code's set up right now is if you're over 45, it just kicks it into this much higher level of review.
So we can't get you through any of these other topics in January, February, earlier, so we can get to medium density sooner?
The shoreline we have ready to go. The trail plan map, we want to be able to adopt the comp plan because we have amendments that are sitting open right now waiting for that so that we can close that.
Gotcha.
And then our 2019 comp plan amendments are waiting for us to close out our 28 amendments.
Well, ask David. It's up to him, right? We'll tell him you guys want to move it up.
I'm just poking him because I don't think he's actually written it yet.
That's part of it, probably. David, are you there?
My buddy.
we'll ask him, but this is.
And could you explain a little bit under the April 25th impact fee regulations and what's that all about?
Yeah, so that's to create a little bit more business-friendly impact fees. So right now it can be a pretty huge hit, particularly when you're getting into changes of use. So somebody that wants to go in and redevelop a site, if a building's over 15,000 square feet right now, it triggers a change of use or triggers impact fees based on that change of use, which can be pretty hefty. Mm-hmm.
So is this meant to be a more comprehensive look at impact fee regulations in general?
It's a number of sections of code. Okay. We do have a draft memo out. Maybe we could share that with you ahead of time so you have some time to chew on it for a while. But
I was just, you know, because I know the council has been regularly modifying impact fee regulations.
Yep, it's kind of a catch-all.
I'm not sure why it's coming down. Yeah. Okay.
And then the industrial zone. So you recall back in January of this year, a long time ago now, council had their zoning-related workshop or their retreat. And at that retreat, they gave us a whole list of things that they'd like us to take through the public process. So a lot of these amendments, including that medium density residential zone, are a part of that. And then the next big one after that is going to be looking at the industrial zones. There's a number of things that we might want to combine our two industrial zones. We might want to create a more specific business park zone that's more related to office type uses. A number of amendments.
What about dockets? Seems like those.
We didn't receive any this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so there won't be any for 19.
No.
The other year there were so many it took a lot of time.
In essence, a lot of these are our dockets. Yeah. The city's initiated dockets or our to-do list. Okay. So we didn't receive any outside ones, but we still have plenty to do.
Yep.
And then another big one relating to the zoning is all the properties along North Bend Way that are zoned neighborhood business right now. The council provided that amendment to not allow multifamily housing within that zone. But a lot of those properties are very deep, and it's not feasible to provide commercial way back by the Snoqualmie Valley Trail when that's 200 feet away from the street. So, so we want to look at some performance standards that could allow multifamily to the rear of those properties while retaining the commercial on the frontage.
That's kind of like that one that's, I think, proposed medium density by Napa Auto Parts, where there's like almost like a driveway type of thing, and then it's all back behind there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird parcel.
It's own cottage now, but
The BLA changes in September?
It's a minor.
Yeah, those are just cleanups.
So. And what about the land use? sounds like that could be monster.
That one actually might wind up happening later. So what we have is our buildable lands report, buildable lands requirements that we're showing that we're meeting our residential and our employment targets.
Right.
So that exercise is happening in 2019, but we'll probably actually get started a little bit later than that.
Is that, I hate to say this, but it seems like that's a topic before we go through a lot of zoning exercises, because our zoning should be mapping to the land use zone.
We don't anticipate our targets changing significantly.
Okay.
So, I mean, we'll see when we get there, but.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense. I just would hate to go through a whole year of adjusting zoning and get to the report and go, oops.
Yeah. Well, those targets the city has always looked at as minimum growth targets under the Growth Management Act, and we've always been able to exceed those minimum targets.
Yeah, well, we've definitely exceeded, Okay.
Speaking of that concept, I think what you were saying is just the big picture view. You gave us something a couple months ago that had the medium density, and it sounds like industrial zones and some other things, maybe at a council retreat or something like that. And I don't know if that information has kind of been fixed for now, and that's what we'll be reviewing, or if they're still modifying it. But that kind of thing, for me, is good to see as a whole, even if we're not going to be, because you had that on the map.
I think you've got that map in your packet.
And it wasn't focused on anything other than the medium. So that was my question, is if from 2018 council retreat, so if they're going to be modifying it, then I don't need to see information that's going to be modified. But if it's kind of like set.
It's not set, so it's all bringing the components of it piece by piece through the process.
Not set, but like, If it won't change before it comes to us, then the whole thing is off.
And that's what this map is. I just kind of drew in circles. Here's the MDR ones. But otherwise, this is what was from that 2018 council retreat.
Yeah. I,
your point, Scott. It's also what we talked about. I think the only one that we actually did take up this year was that proposed zoning change.
Ferguson?
Or the cottage.
Between Cedar Falls and North Benway. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the comments that I made at that time was that I felt we needed to be looking at that type of a change much more in the broader context of overall zoning. And so I still feel that same way. And council did a great activity back at the last retreat, now almost a year ago. But we're still, and you've got a couple of them now, you know, for this coming year. And so we're still, to me, needing to, as we look at medium density zoning or the industrial mm-hmm. zoning, I'll just preview that you'll hear a lot more coming out of me about wanting to be sure that we're looking at it from a comprehensive standpoint as we make decisions about any particular one.
And a lot of that, they did address that with wanting to see concentration of development in the downtown area and going slowly more or less dense yeah. as you go out from there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good direction.
Yeah. So if you guys have any other ideas of things you want to add on, you know, we can make extra meetings. More than 2 a month? 7 to 11? I mean.
You guys tag team. Russell,
yeah.
7 to 9.
Except
nine
Mike got
to
the short work. End. He didn't get to talk about yeah. his medium density as much. He got way too much river run he ever wanted, but that's the way it goes sometimes.
If you could give him a change of the name, that'd be great.
Yeah.
There's already two river runs in North Bend.
River Bend, River.
Well, specifically River Runs. There's two developments on the east side called River Run.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Catchy.
Yeah. Anything 30-second good of the order or less?
Yes. Happy holidays.
I would invite everyone to hopefully enjoy the remainder of the year in peace and solitude.
Yeah, right. Have you been on the streets lately?
Okay, so it's a wish.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Stay home.
To seeing you next year.
Yeah. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right, all those in favor of ending this meeting, say aye.
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 Oh.
Aye. Aye.
9:14.
Become planner.
You did it.
Planner.
I caught that.
Yeah, I kind of like that. You want to.
Planner commissioner, yeah. I mean, if it's now going to come with pay,
yeah, pay job.
You know, I can go with that. You could with that. And I noticed that our names are not planner commissioner.
I thought it was mine at first, but I was glad that Lisa's on everyone.
I was also going to make another edit here. More senior.
Straighten out. I think it's about the bigger issue.
Yeah, I'm wondering if
yeah,
but the date might be our above the line.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris.
You and I got to get together.
Early January, I think,
at least within
anybody that's an out curmudgeon is quite a challenge.
So I was just curious.